Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Today's show is brought to you by Show Dog Prep School. Online courses, webinars, and mentor programs on demand at showdogprepschool.com. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and we have a really fun guest with us today. This is Ashley Jaco. She's the AKC Public Education Manager and possibly one of the most useful to our fancy and perhaps least known people at the American Kennel Club. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. And you guys are working on some really excellent programs. And, you know, I do a lot of talking to people out in the dog show world and the dog fancy world, and they all say, well, we should do this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, but AKC is doing this and this and this.
We are. We are so proud of the things that we have launched and that we have in development. And we're just trying to get the word out there about the things that we have to offer.
Absolutely. I know I talked to you almost a year ago when you guys were just getting started on this. So I'm very excited to share some of this with our listeners. So give us we call it the 411, right? Like, what's your background and what brought you to public education at the American Kennel Club?
Sure. So I've served as AKC's public education manager since the position was created in June of 2017. And before serving as the public education manager, I was an elementary school teacher for 7 years. So I hold a bachelor and master's degree in education, and my time spent as a teacher prepared me really well for this position because I understand how people learn and what captures their interest and what motivates them. And what we aim to do in public education is to share our passion for purebred dogs and the sport of purebred dogs. And in doing so, we've made connections with children and adults all over the country. And I was really drawn to this position because it allowed me to utilize the skill set that I have as an educator, but it also has allowed me to learn new skills. And once you're an educator, you get a hunger to make an impact with your work. And that's something that never fades. So this role really allowed me to continue to do that, but to reach a broader audience than I could in a classroom. And I have just been loving it.
I love it. I just think it's amazing. And I think as we go forward in this world that we live in, and giving young people this information when they're young is so critical. And I just am thrilled that this is something that AKC is doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to see a child meet a dog for the very first time. And I know as an educator that those early learning experiences, they last a lifetime. And I know the fancy can speak to that because they have dedicated their lives to dogs. So to see a child make that very first connection and to be responsible for that in any way is a real honor.
I love that, Ashley. So let's talk about it. You've been doing this for just a little over a year. You've got a lot of stuff that you've put in place and a lot of stuff you're working on putting in place. So let's talk about what you're doing right now. One of the things that was interesting to me, I heard something about the canine clubs. So let's talk about that because that sounded like a really cool thing to do for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So canine clubs just launched and we've got a couple of clubs already on the ground. We have an entire school district in Alaska that is working through our educator resources and our character education program, and they're also doing the canine clubs. We have a canine club in Florida in elementary school. And the canine club is an after-school club for dog lovers, and it's hosted by a teacher or a youth group leader, and it can be done at a school or a library or a community organization. It's really ideal for kids in grades K through 8, but we've got some advanced plans, and I can talk about that in a minute. But the AKC Canine Club is designed to include students who own a dog or have an interest in owning a dog or just love dogs in general. And the club teaches students about responsible dog ownership, training, canine science, canine jobs, and a lot more. And we encourage canine ambassadors to be invited to visit with the clubs and bring their AKC registered dog or pal or canine partner and share their expertise and enrich the students' learning experiences. And we provide all of the lesson plans and the resources and the materials. So teachers just have to pick up the lesson plans and do the clubs. We want to make it as easy for them as possible.
That is amazing. I've been preaching this forever. Yay. AKC, you get a gold star.
We are so excited. We realize that obviously there are children to reach after grade six or kids that have done the first canine club and want something more. So we have been working with a senior at Princeton University, and she, for her thesis, has been doing some work teaching middle school students how to train a diabetic alert dog. And what her studies have shown is that helping to train this dog really improves executive functioning skills. And so for those of us not in education, executive functioning skills is basically how we know what to do in the morning to get our day started. So a student knows they need to come in, they need to take their items out of their backpack, they need to sharpen their pencils. It seems simple, but for students that don't have executive functioning skills, every day is a struggle because every day they don't know what to do to start their day or to learn or to prepare for their lives. And executive functioning skills is one of the areas that is most difficult to teach a child and to improve upon. So her initial findings are that this work helping to train these diabetic alert dogs is making a difference with these students. And that is something that is literally going to change their lives. So we want to help have a canine club that has a similar feel in both for students who need help with executive functioning and even students that don't. What an amazing experience to be a part of. And so we're currently working on that. And we hope to have that launch in the middle of next year.
Love that. So that to me does two things. It helps the kids, it helps the dogs, but it also is teaching the concept of helping other people. What a novel concept. I love this.
Absolutely. And while we're talking about helping other people, another program that we have is the AKC Character Education Program.
Yeah, tell me about this. I mean, it sounded kind of like, what, character education? What are we, you know, but tell me what that is.
So it's a complete character education unit that's designed for schools. And the goal of the program is to provide schools with a quality character education program that results in measurable improvement in student behavior and peer relationships. So we provide all of the lesson plans and the activities and the resources. And basically what it looks like is that in the program, children take a short personality quiz and it identifies them as a breed of dogs. So, you know, they'll be asked a question like, you have a friend who is having trouble on the playground, what do you do? And then based on how they answer the questions, they are identified as a particular breed of dog. And it's one that they share the most character traits with. So this allows children to make a real-world connection to the idea of character, but it also gives them a familiar lens with which to view each trait by learning about a dog that exhibits those traits. So each month, students focus on a different trait, and they discuss what the trait means. They see an example of what the dog looks like, and they're encouraged to demonstrate that trait throughout the month. And then at the end, each student will have a chance to be recognized along with their purebred dog, and then for embodying that particular trait. And the program really seeks to introduce them to purebred dogs, but also to introduce them to character traits that help make them responsible citizens.
Genius. And I love that you've been doing this for a year. I wish you had been doing this for 20 years. I'm dead serious. This is good stuff.
We have certainly accomplished a lot in a short time, and we're excited about the future that we have. We've developed 10 programs in 18 months, and we have many in development now that will launch in 2019, as well as developing in 2019 to launch at end of 2019. We're tireless. We're working.
I love it. So talk a little bit more about some of your goals on this, and then I want to go into really specific ways that every single listener on this show today can go back to their kid's school or to their local kennel club or whatever it is to help facilitate some of these things.
Absolutely. So our goals for these programs always go back to the AKC public education mission, which is also, of course, tied to the mission of American Kennel Club. And our public education mission is to engage, facilitate, and convey to the general public the ongoing importance of the relationship between people and canines. So that's always what we're doing because we know the value of the human-canine bond and we want other people to know that too. And what it really boils down to is that through these programs, we've made connections in communities. And when we talk with clubs who've utilized these programs in their own communities or teachers that have taught our lessons, the running theme that we found is the opportunity they give you to really make a lasting impact. And we believe that. We believe these programs allow us to make an impact on children and teachers and parents and families and an entire community. So that is our goal, is how can we make the biggest impact possible and really open the curtain to the world of purebred dogs, because I think that people either don't know this world truly exists or they misunderstand what it is. So that is cool always.
Very, very good stuff. So what can my listener out there do right now?
Yes, there are a lot of ways for fanciers to become involved. So if you're a member of a club, talk to your club about hosting the AKC patch program or an art contest at your next event. If you reach out to us and you say, I think my club might want to do this, but what can you tell me? We can send you a PowerPoint that you can share with them if you'd like. You can become a canine ambassador. That allows you to go into schools and communities with your dog and teach kids or adults even. You can share these programs with schools in your community. So we have postcards about the work that we do. We're always happy to send those out. You can email us at publiced@akc.org for those. We also have a blog, akcpublic.education.blog, and that's the best way for you to keep up to the minute, up to the date about the work that we're doing, the programs that we're launching, how you can reach out. And that's really your best place to figure out how to get involved. But that's half of our goal, not only to create, but also to help you share this information with others. So our phone's always open, email's always open. Please reach out to us. We want your feedback. We want your support and anything that we can do to help you. We're here.
I love this. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew. Last month, I was filling you in on the Trupanion Breeder Support Program. And in case you missed it, this is a free program for breeders that lets us offer our buyers, our puppy buyers, a go-home day offer so that they can try out Trupanion and everybody has the peace of mind that that puppy is covered in case of any kind of an incident. But I was talking to Haran recently, and I didn't realize at the time that they actually have a breeding rider that is additional to the regular healthcare coverage that Trupanion offers our dogs. And so I wanted to bring Haran Greer from Trupanion back to tell us about it, because I was blown away. So welcome, Haran.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me back. And I'm happy this came up in conversation.
Yeah, right? So tell us about it. This is pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, so I'll just start at the basics. You know, so if you join Trupanion, we just have one simple plan. It's 90% coverage for the unexpected illnesses, accidents, and injuries. And then from there, breeders can add a breeding rider coverage to make sure that they're protected from the unexpected things that can happen with breeding.
Okay, so what does that cover? What kind of things are you covering in your claims with the breeding rider?
So it's truly things that are unexpected. So anything that you can't plan for in advance is what Trupanion gives you peace of mind from, right? But with the breeding rider, you know, the most common claim that we see are for C-sections. Mm-hmm. But as I was looking through, I was curious just to see what kind of claims we have been seeing in the past year. I was surprised that pyometra payouts have exceeded what we've paid out for C-section.
Wow.
So the claims paid ranged from the lowest one that we paid out was $1,740, and the highest one to date this year has been $5,500.
That's pretty incredible. So how much does a person pay to add that breeding rider to their regular insurance coverage?
So that rider has variables. You'll want to give us a call or go to our website. The factors are things like where you live, what breed you have, is it a male or female, how old are they, and then the deductible. And those right. deductible options is where, you know, the flexibility comes in mm-hmm. for your monthly payment. And those range from $0 to $1,000.
Okay, beautiful. So check it out, listeners, puredogtalk.com. You can find the Trupanion website. Just click that logo and it will take you in to get lots and lots of information about some stuff that I think not all of us always think about. So thank you, Haran. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Laura. I hope to be back on soon.
So walk me through a lesson plan for a sixth grader. What would that look like? So I have lots and lots of people in the dog world are teachers. I can rattle them off the top of my head. So what is it that we're going to be doing for, say, your average sixth grade class?
Sure. So the lesson plans that we have are for children in grades K through 12, and they're all aligned to national curriculum standards. Because what I know as being a former educator and what I know about education is that teachers aren't going to use them if they're not going to help them for the test. And that's just an unfortunate part of the education realm right now, but it's what teachers need, and that's what we want to provide. So they are aligned to national standards. They're rigorous, but also reachable. An example of a kindergarten math lesson, let's say, It requires students to compare and contrast various dog breeds to determine which are tall and which are short. So that's kindergarten math. That's what you're trying to figure out, what's the difference between tall and short. And so then you might take that a step further in third grade by taking a snippet of the breed standard and comparing the height of a corgi versus a Bichon, which one is taller, which one's shorter based on the inches. So on the other hand, an 11th grade science lesson requires students to use a Punnett square to investigate coat color inheritance. So they obviously, the rigor changes as the students get older.
Hey, I'm here to tell you there's some serious breeders in this country who could take that 11th grade lesson plan. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. Yes. This is like so good.
Yeah, we're constantly adding to the lesson plan. So we add lesson plans biweekly so that there's always something new for you to teach your students or, you know, work on at home with your kids or grandkids. So we're always focusing on how we can add to what we have. We've got some really cool middle school lesson plans about the ecology of dog food. So they take a look at some different brands of dog food and look at the ingredients and then talk about which one is healthier for a dog. And while that may seem on the surface to not actually provide much scientific examples, they have to construct a scientific explanation based on evidence. So everything that we created requires them to really think, but also to have this fun connection to a dog.
Right, absolutely. And the other thing that I'm seeing with all of this and have always thought, I personally, and a lot of people of my era, if you will, grew up in 4-H, and I have continued to like hammer this concept. But a lot of what you're doing in this program is incorporating some of those skills that we got in 4-H and putting them into a more urban environment where 4-H is not a thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you brought up 4-H because we have been working really hard to reach out to youth organizations like 4-H and invite them to take part in the work that we're doing. So one program that we have that I would be neglectful not to mention is the AKC Patch Program, because that's a program that clubs can really use. And what that is it invites children to attend a dog show and hosted by the club, of course, and they participate in a scavenger hunt that we create for the club based on their event. So it's always unique to the club. And this program is really growing steadily. We created it last year, and there's been a 600% increase in the number of programs held in 2018. And we've invited more than 1,000 children to dog shows all over the country. We're actually hosting this program at the AKC National Championship for the second year in a row. Last year, we had 223 children. This year, we had to close registration because we had 446 children registered over 2 days. And that was the maximum amount of space.
Wow.
We had. Yeah. So we are so excited to share the excitement of a dog show with these kids. And what my favorite story, I think, about the Patch program was last year at the AKC National Championship, we had a girl come at 9:30 in the morning for the Patch program. And it took her maybe an hour, hour and a half to complete the program. And she stayed all day and then wanted to go to the show at night. She said she wanted to see how it ended. I love that passion. I love that excitement. And when she said when she turns 9, she wants to be a junior. And those are the experiences that we're really looking to provide.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how all of us started is, you know, I mean, my mom put me in dog care 4-H when I was 9 because I was shy and retiring and lacked people skills. So I'm saying 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. So one of the other concepts that I think that we're taking away from this is that instead of being presented with only one vision of dogs, which for the last few years has been focused on adopt, don't shop sort of mentality. And I really love that the AKC is getting in there and providing children with a way to think about dogs that is a little more realistic and fact-based.
Yes, and that's what we want to do. We just want to provide an alternative narrative to show them this is the truth about dogs and purebred dogs and the sport that we do. Look at how much fun these dogs are having. Look at the connection that they have with their handlers and their owners. And that, I think, has really made a difference because we get that question. We get that question from kids, from adults, from their parents that say, we have a rescue dog. What about adopt, don't shop? And we talk about the work that AKC does with rescues because AKC does a lot of work. But we also talk about why we think purebred dogs are great and important. And, you know, the value that they can bring to your family. So, you know, we keep it positive, but we just give them a different narrative. And that's all you can do, right? You can present them with the facts and then give them an amazing experience. And then they walk away and they have a different feeling about purebred dogs and AKC than they did when they got there. And what is better than that?
That is dead on. I think a lot of emphasis on purebred rescue and some of these things that are able to combine those messages, you know, so help transition a little bit, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And we love talking about the amazing AKC good works that we have, and we're constantly building that and adding to that. And we just want people to see the amazing work that we do because we are all very proud of it.
I am super excited, very impressed, and thrilled. Like I say, when we talked a year or so ago, you were just getting started on this. So being able to now bring this to my listeners as a fully formed thing that's happening, I think is excellent.
Yes, and we're growing, Laura. We're hiring new staff onto the public education team because honestly, we have so much work to do. We just need more hands.
Good.
We're excited to be growing and to be using the skill set that we have to serve the public and to serve the fancy. We're proud of our work.
As well you should be. Good job. This is some of the most exciting stuff I've seen in recent years. This is really, really good, and I think benefits us all long term.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ashley. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your effort, and your enthusiasm is astounding. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Excellent. And we'll look forward to the next time you debut a really cool thing. We'll have you back. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
Excellent. Thanks, Ashley. All right, crew, we are back with Allison Foley from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy for her tip of the week. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Laura. How are things today?
Excellent. We're going to go with excellent. And we are going to be talking about stripping tools, right?
Ooh, oh, okay. I'm glad
not like that. Yep, good job.
Okay.
I think it's so important for people to hear some of this stuff. Because stripping knives used improperly can be a nightmare.
Correct. So, yeah, stripping knives and stripping stones is what I want to talk to you about today.
Perfect.
And first of all, I think it's important to find a stripping knife that works for you. Mm-hmm. You know, for like a lot of these sporting breeds, you could start with a knife that's like on the coarser side because you're going to be using it a lot to be like raking out undercoat
right.
and doing things like that. And, you know, they make all different kinds of coarse, medium, fine, extra fine knives. It is a personal preference. But one of the things that sometimes people miss is that you could also use a stripping stone.
Yeah.
So a stripping stone can be more forgiving, and it can also be very helpful because sometimes when you're using your stripping knife and you've raked out all the undercoat and stuff, and then you're using it with your thumb to pull off those extra hairs, the wispy hairs to top off a top coat, sometimes you just run out of textured hair that your knife will pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you switch then to a stripping stone, and you can use a stripping stone with your thumb and again, keep pulling hair out, sometimes a stripping stone will allow you to grab on to some of those hairs that your knife maybe just isn't helping you pick up.
Absolutely. And you know, I will tell you, back in the day, many, many years ago, when I had an Irish Terrier breeder helping me kind of really fine tune my hand stripping, right? Like we all learn and we all start and get better and better. She was so funny. She made me use those Dr. Scholl's things. And
yeah.
I was not allowed to touch a stripping knife. And I knew how to strip coat, but no, I had to relearn it her way. And that was truly one of the most valuable things because you can't break the hair. I loved
it. Yeah. So I was going to talk about stripping stones, you know, that Dr. Scholl's tool is actually a very good tool, one that I do recommend because it is like a very hard white stone. I tend to find the whiter stones are harder, so they're going to be more like a finer knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the lighter gray stone is a little bit more medium. And then as you get into the dark gray, almost black stones that people use to clean their barbecues, those are like a little bit more coarser.
Mm-hmm.
But your stripping stone isn't going to allow you to break the hair like a knife might. So they are better for a beginner. They're better for everyone. I love them.
Yeah.
You can also like as the stripping stone, you know, starts to not pick up the hair quite as much, you can either like scratch it on a
mm-hmm.
surface to get a fresh edge. You can flip it over.
Mm-hmm.
For people starting out that don't want to invest in a whole set of knives because they are expensive, you know, a stripping stone is $5, right?
Yeah, as
compared
exactly.
to $30 to maybe $100 for a set of knives. So yeah, buy one knife and, you know, start teaching yourself how to use like a coarser knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe have a couple stripping stones in your kit that are A, going to be helpful, B, people that have been stripping dogs, like you said, like your mentor in Irish
right.
Terrier, she's
right.
been stripping dogs forever and still the stone was her go-to.
Right.
I mean, they are just such an excellent but often overlooked tool. And they can just be used for so many things.
One of my favorites is after you like clipper ears or clipper a head or, you know, any of that, if you want to make sure to just have that really fine, smooth cover on that, that take the stripping stone and just run it over your clippered head or ears. I have found that just smooths it out and just takes off all the clipper marks.
Yeah, I agree. Often, like when I clipper a poodle,
yeah,
I slicker all the edges, the, mm-hmm. you know, all the clippered edges to make sure that I get all those little hairs out that cause mats. And the same thing, like on a sporting breed, once I have clippered or scissored or even stripped, I will run over it with the stripping stone. Again, mm-hmm. it picks up all those little hairs that just cause like little mats as they get into the ear furnishings. But yeah, they do clean up your look.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you get to an edge where there's a few stray hairs, you can just quickly use your thumb and fix that up.
Yep.
They're a great tool.
Yep. Love them. All right, listeners, don't forget, we have the Pure Dog Talk 25. Checkout code.
So it's Pure Dog Talk 25 to get 25% off any and all of our courses at Leading Edge. So that includes our subscription where you get everything in the entire school, including our new setter and spaniel courses that we're looking really forward to, you know, kind of diversifying, having like new really great instructors. But at any rate, you know, use Pure Dog Talk to your greatest convenience, and we would love to have you as a student.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Allison.
No problem, Laura. Great to talk to you again.
And now a quick tip from our friends at American Dog Fancier. ADF says, always qualify any statistics that you're using in an advertisement. Date and the system are the best way to do that. Second note, always remember to include photo credits. Thank you from American Dog Fancier. Affordable show dog advertising. Mention Pure Dog Talk and get 10% off your first ad with American Dog Fancier. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.